Okay. Yes. I don't have any dates. Next week, Monday.
Wait, I have to get.
Monday is Bikias. Tuesday is Chumash. Thursday is Yirmiyo. Okay, that's next week.
I thought we had.
No, I never said that. No. Tomorrow is Bikias Chumash. Okay.
And then
the next week, Thursday. Okay, now, even though we finished yesterday and we started going further, but I came across, I had seen it really last week, and then someone borrowed the sefer from me, and then I only got it back yesterday by Mincha, and I look, this, I have a sefer here called Divrei Yirmiyo, from a Rav in Europe, I guess in the late 1800s, he was a Talmud of the Netziv in Volozhin, contemporary of Chaim Brisker. So he wrote a sefer, I have a couple svarim of his. On Chumash he has a couple svarim, I quote him a couple times in my svarim too. So he has drashas in the back of his shuva sefer. And in a, it's an interesting story, baklal with this person, his name was Rav Chaim Yirmiyo Flansburg, something like that. Anyway, so he, in the Hakdama to the second chalik, the chalik of Shmais, his son writes an interesting story of how he was born, this Reb Chaim Yirmiyo. The story goes as follows. His mother got married, and her husband was a Talmud Chacham, her husband was a businessman, and it seems, and they were very comfortable. She was a big tzaddikus, a lot of tzedakah, a lot of chesed, a lot of everything else. But the one problem was they didn't have any children. For many, many years they didn't have any children. And it came, she was 47 years old. She decided one day that maybe they should try with somebody else. Maybe they should get divorced. And they'll each get remarried and maybe they'll have children. So she springs this on her husband one day. He comes home and she says, "You know what? I love you very much, but we don't have any kids. So maybe we should." He was like, he didn't know what hit him. So he says, "Are you crazy? I mean, you're almost 50. What are you thinking?" So she said, calls on him in the 40s, it's not 50 yet, and in the 40s, it's still not. So he said he wasn't such a happy camper, and it seems that she, for days, she cried, she begged, she did. So anyways, you know, he's not gaining anything by keeping her, so, right? So basically, he was masking. She left everything over, she didn't take any money with her, nothing, the clothes on her back, and she left. And meanwhile, a couple months later, she got married to a widower, and she was named Flansburg, whatever his name was, and Talmud Chacham. She got married. Well, you know, Rav is Machshav is Belevish, but 48, 49, and she's not having any children. So she's thinking to herself, you know, I got have nothing here, right? So I left over my husband and all the money.
Okay, isn't it the husband's stuff?
Yeah, but she said, I don't know what he did. Maybe he also got remarried. I don't know. So, fine. But she wanted to have children. So, Kitzer, she thinks to herself, what did I do? She started more stuck, davening, crying. She was a mess. Anyways, she was, one day, I think she was already, I forgot the age, 51, I think she was, or she was 50. She was 50. And her husband went out to learn on a Friday night. Her husband had a daughter also that came into the marriage with him. And she fell asleep after she was mumsh crying and davening. She fell asleep on the table a Friday night. And all of a sudden she saw in front of her a dream, a vision, whatever it was. And someone tells her, "Ani Yirmiyo Hanavi, I'm Yirmiyo Hanavi." And he had a little cradle with him that was covered over. And he said, "Here, take this. Here's a son and a daughter." And she woke up. Now, kids, within the year, she had her son, who she named Chaim after her father, but Yirmiyo after Yirmiyo Hanavi. And then 2 years later, at the age of 53, she had a daughter, Taka. And he became one of the big mamash gedolim in Europe. They say that, how do you know how the Netziv held of him? Because he made him the Purim Rav in Volozhin. To be the Purim Rav in Volozhin, you had to be a very big balkisha, and it wasn't so simple. So you sat in the Rashiva's chair, and you said Taira, and they hacked in it, and that was a big, it showed a chashivas. So he was the Netziv, it's his Shuvas also, you see the Netziv writes about him. Anyways, that was this person, Rechaim Yair Miyo, who wrote these far. Anyways, this is an interesting tidbit, and there was another interesting thing. He never told anyone this story. He knew it, but he never told anyone. There was once in his city, when he was the Rav, a fellow was passing through, and this fellow, his thing was gematrias. He would tell him who you are. He'd look at you today, tell you 15 gematrias of who you are and what your name, what you do, and what your business is. So they introduced him to the Rav. So they asked him, what do you say about the Rav? So they asked him, what's your name? So my name is Chaim Yirmiyo. So he said, oh, that's gematria Yirmiyo Anavi. So he didn't say anything. The Rav, he was writing his ragish from it because he knew the story. Only after he told his kids the story, but they weren't megal this whole mice until after he was lifted. Anyways, he has over here a hespit on Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Kovna Rav, who he was close with. He learned in Kovna Kailo. He was close with him, and Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan also has shuvas back and forth with him. And when he found that Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was nifter in the year Taf Reish Nun Vav. So he said a long hespid on him. And he goes through different gemaras or different places where he talks about tzaddikim being nifter. When Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when Rebbe was nifter. And in the middle part, it's talking about Aliyas Elio, our psukim. And he really goes and he teaches the whole story here in a very, very geshmaka manner in the psukim. And therefore, I'm going to go now and go through what he says, even though we really went through it already, but to go through the idea of what was going on over here with the Nevi'im, with Elisha, with the Rechavesh, with Susayesh. So he says as follows. He says like this. He says that we know Elio was trying to get rid of Elisha, telling him, go, don't, you can't come with me, go away. So he says Eliyahu did not want Elisha to know that he was leaving. Why? Because he figured Elisha's going to try to stop it. He's going to be geyser atinus. He's going to daven. And Elisha's davening was, Eliyahu understood what Elisha's davening was. He was afraid he was going to be able to stop it. He was going to try to stop it. Elio didn't want him to do this because he knew there's no way really to stop it. He's going up to Shemayim. All it's going to do is cause Elisha tzar. So therefore, he kept on telling Elisha, go away, stop, go away, go away. And Elisha kept on saying, no, I'm coming. What was Elisha doing? So he says that Elisha, he knew about this, and Elisha was davening, and he was fasting, and he was crying. However, he was doing it b'chasha. He was doing it secretly. He was doing it quietly. Because he didn't want Elio to know that he was trying to stop it. Now the B'nai HaNevi'im, they see Elisha and Elio coming. So they went over to Elisha, they said, do you know, Hayadata ki ayayim Hashem lekecha sadenecha me'al reshecha? You know Elisha, Elio is leaving? Meaning, if you know, why aren't you doing anything about it? Why aren't you being geyser atinus? Why aren't you being mispalo? All the Bnei Nevi'im should get together and daven and fast. So what did Elisha answer? Gam ani yodati, I know. Hecheshu. So the way he says hecheshu means, he says, there's a difference between hecheshu and doimu. Daimu also means to keep quiet. But daimu means to keep quiet and not speak at all. Hecheshu is used on someone who will speak, but he'll be whispering. He'll do it quietly. Hecheshu, quiet down. Not don't speak at all. So he said that hecheshu, you want to be misbalo, you want to fast, it's a wonderful idea, but you have to do it in secret. You have to do it in a way that Elio should not know that we're trying to be ma'akivis. Why? Why is he wanted in a way that Elio shouldn't know? Because Elisha had a trick up his sleeve. And that was that he knew, or he understood, in the next pasuk, Eliyahu is going to ask him, what do you want from me? What do you want from me before I leave? Elisha. Now, if Eliyahu knows that Elisha is trying to stop him from leaving, is he going to say, ask what you want, I'll give it to you? No, because he'll be afraid that Elisha will say, okay, don't go. But if Eliyahu thinks that Elisha doesn't know about it, or is not doing anything about it, so therefore, Eliyahu will feel a little bit guilty here of leaving, and to try to be Menachem Elisha, he'll offer him something. So therefore, Elisha was saying everything has to be done quietly here. We're going to try, we're going to fast, we're going to daven, but we're going to do it quietly. Why? Because he wanted Eliyahu to ask him, what do you want? So, Elisha, therefore, when Eliyahu finally asked him, what do you want? He told him, give me pishnayim mimcha. Pishnayim berucha choyla. He asked him for something that was impossible. He told him, Eliyahu had told him, ask what you want for me to do before I leave. That means I have to do what you ask before I leave. What happens if Elisha asks for something that's impossible?
He can't leave.
Eliyahu's not going to lie. He said, I'll give it to you before I leave. So therefore, Elisha went and he asked for something that he thought was impossible. Give me pishnayim beruch ha-choyloi. Not that I really want your pishnayim. I don't want you to leave. And he brings down here a medrash that I've seen before. I've said it over before. An unbelievable medrash in Shir HaShirim. The medrash says that there was once a story with a husband and wife that for 10 years they didn't have any children. Another story, I didn't plan it that way. They came to Rav Shimon Yochai that they want to get divorced. So Rav Shimon Yochai said that just like when you got married, you made a very big party, right? You heard the story before?
Yeah.
So therefore, when you're going to get divorced now, make sure you make a big party, Michael and Mishta. So they went, they made a big yontif in a Suda Gedayla, and he got a little too drunk, the husband. And in the moment he said, ask anything that you see here in the house, take, whatever you want, the most, any chayfet tzayv that you want, take it, and then go back to your father's house. This is it, this is the end. We made the party, it's time to get divorced. I'm giving you one last present. You can choose whatever you want. And then he went to sleep. So when she fell asleep, she told the avadim, pick up his bed and bring it to my father's house. She's smart. Yeah, he woke up and he thought it was a nightmare. Here he's supposed to be home. He's by his shver. He doesn't understand what's going on. And he said, what's going on? So she said, you told me last night, Kol chayfet tzayv sheyesh li b'beisi, whatever that's the best thing I have, I should take. Ein chayfet tzayv li b'olam yaser mimcha. That's it. Yeah, it's how romantic. The ein chayfet tzayv b'olam yaser mimcha. So they went back to Rav Shimon Yochai, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Omar v'tzpala aleihem, and they had a child. But now, there's interesting, he doesn't bring this here because not going to get to the story, but if you look at the Medrash over there, the Medrash says, Kach Yisrael, he says, if a Basar V'dam is able to bring a Yeshua, one Basar V'dam for two other Basar V'dam, because they said this to each other, Kal V'chaimer, Kla Yisrael, if they're going through so many tzaris, if they would just say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Ein li chayfetz b'aylam yoysim imcha, all we want is you, Kal V'chaimer, that the Rebbeinu Shalom will save Kla Yisrael from the tzaris. I'm not saying the Medrash exactly, but the Lashon of the Medrash, if you look over there in Shir HaShirim, is unbelievable to understand what it means to be a Yid, is to say, Ein li chayfetz b'aylam yoysim mimcha. That's the aside of being a Yid, and that'll bring Yeshua's for Klal Yisrael. But anyway, this was the same idea here, says the Divrei Yirmiyahu. They have, what do you want? I want you. Right? Eliyahu asks, whatever you want, I'll give you. So Elisha said, I want you. He did in a way of saying that I'm asking for something that's impossible, and you'll stay. So what did Elio answer? Hikshisa lishol. He asked for something very hard. Elio was saying, I have no problem giving you double of myself. Because as we explained, that when a tzaddik is nifter, he goes with that mahalach, he goes up so many madregas, or especially Elio when he's leaving the world, at that last moment, he goes 20, 30, 40 madregas higher than he ever was. So he is able to give over double of what he is now. However, he told him, Ikshisa lishol. You know what the problem is? You will not be able to be makabel what I'm going to give you. I'm able to give you, but it's a sakana for you, for me to give it to you. A person is only able with his physical eye to see, to let in so much light into their eye. If a person tries to go look at the sun, let's say, or something that's very strong and able to look at it, it's going to be mazik them. It's not just going to be that they won't be able to see that big light, they won't be able to see what they saw before. It's a sakana. It's mazik their eyesight, and they won't even have what they had before. So he says the same thing. If I'm going to give you double, it's something impossible for you really to be mazik, you're going to be in trouble. Not only you're not going to get it, you're going to lose everything you have. It's a sakana. She's delicious. You're not ready for this. I can do it. But not only you're not ready for it, so you'll say, okay, big deal, so I'm not ready for it, so give it to me and see what happens. No, you're not going to be back to where you were before. It's going to damage you. It's a sakana for me to give you so much kedusha like this. And that's what he told him. He said, Im tira oisilei keach mitcha, if you're able to see me, that means to say that your eyesight, your ruchnius eyesight is able to be mekabalit. So then you're right. It'll be then you have it. You're able to mekabel it. But what did he say? His lashon was, he said, "In tiraisi lukach mitach yehi lechachein." You will get it. Vim ayin, but if not, he didn't say lo yia lechachein. You won't get it. Lo yia, you won't have anything. Lo yia, even what you have now. So he told him, it's a very dangerous thing. If you try to get it and you don't, not only do you not get the speech Nayim, you'll lose what you had. Lo yia, you won't have anything. So therefore what he was telling him was, I could give it over to you. And therefore once I give it over, I could leave. You're trying to keep me here through this bakasha, I can leave. But I'm warning you that this is really what you want and I'm going to give it. If you're lucky enough, if you're on the right madrega to be able to see it, so you'll have it. But if not, if you're not on the right madrega, you're going to lose a lot. So I'm going to give it and I can leave once I give it. But it's not so simple that you could be mekabel. The pasuk continues, Vayihi hemaholchem. So he brings here a Tanit Velio. Tanit Velio says as follows. When the Malach was sent to get... Kenishtalach Malach al Elio v'al Elisha. When the Malach was sent to Elio and Elisha. Ba umatzan asukim b'divrei Torah. The Malach came and found Elio and Elisha learning Torah. And he couldn't do anything. He wasn't able to be Shiloh to rule over them. Shanemar. Vinei Rechavesh. What's a chariot of fire? Elu divrei Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Tanakh. The Rechavesh is Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Vesuseyesh, what are the horses? Elu Mishnah, Halachas V'Agadah, is Torah Shebal Peh. Says the Tanit Velio, what does it mean Vayafridu ben Shneim? Melamed, it teaches us Shechazel ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malach went back to Hashem and he told him, Ribbono Shel Olam, Asisi lach keiras ruach ba'olam. I did something for you that's a nachas ruach. Keiras ruach, it's a nachas. Dai bizayin shabazisi aysam. It's enough the bizayin that I was mevaza Elio and Elisha. V'dochapti oisam, and I push them. Echel lekan v'echel lekan, one in this direction, the other direction. Shenemar, that's why it says, v'yafridu ben shneim, he separated them. That's the Medrash. Now what does this Medrash mean? Very awesome. So he says as follows. After Eliyahu told Elisha that you need a very strong madrega to be able to makabel it, you think Eliyahu just left him hanging like that? Think Eliyahu wasn't going to try to help him? He didn't want to be mazik him. He'd be very happy to give it to him. He just wasn't sure if he could be makabel it. So Eliyahu started learning with Elisha and preparing him to be makabel this Ar Gadol that he'll give over to him. How do you prepare him? Torah. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Halachas, Haggadahs, all of these things. And when we learned with him, he was being mashvi on him and preparing him for this madrega they should be able to see when he leaves. Now, if Elisha wasn't supposed to see it, there would be no need for a rechev esh v'susei esh. Vayal Eliyahu basar ha-shamayim. A wind is something that you don't really see. It just swoops something away. Because Elisha now became roi to see it, we have to make a mara that is visible. A storm, a ruach, is not something that's seen. He wouldn't see the aliyah l'shamayim. He would just see him disappear. So therefore, now it was necessary, once Eliyahu prepared Elisha and put him on the proper madrega, it was necessary to send a rechav esh and a susei esh for Elisha to be able to see Eliyahu going up. So that's, now let's go back to the Medrash. Kishenishtalach Malach El Eliyahu V'al Elisha. The Malach was sent. Who's the Malach sent to get? Eliyahu. What's Elisha doing in here? What's the Malach being sent for, Elisha? The Teretz is, the Malach was sent to take Eliyahu and to show it to Elisha, to bring this, that Elisha should be able to see it. So he came, the Malach went to get Eliyahu v'al Elisha. He had a shlichus for Elisha too, to show Elisha what was going on. What happened? He found them being Isaac b'Tayra, and he couldn't stop them. And the Medrash says, Rechavesh, Suseyesh, are nimshalt, are mishalim for the Tayra. And why are they mishalim for the Torah? Because the rechev is something that can't move on its own. A chariot can't move on its own without the susim, without the animals, without the living beings. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim on their own aren't enough. You need the horses, the Torah Shebal Peh, to pull it along, to be able to make it. That's why it's a mashal of rechev and sus, to make it that there's a kiyum for the Tanakh. But the idea here was that through the Torah learning, there was a need for the Rechav Esh and the Susei Esh. If not for them learning Torah, and for Elisha going on to becoming on such a high madrega, we wouldn't need to show him Eliyahu's going up, and therefore you wouldn't need the Rechav and the Susei. So that's why it says here, he found them learning Torah, and we say the mashal is, the Rechav is a mashal to Torah, the Susei is a mashal to Torah. What is being taught that this Medrash is, that the Rechav and the Susei were a result of Eliyahu teaching Elisha Torah and bringing him up on a high madrega and preparing him to be able to see it. Now, asks the Medrash, what's Vayafridu Ben Shneihem? It sounds like the Rechav Esh and the Susei Esh, what did it come to do? To separate between Eliyahu and Elisha. We just said the Rechav Esh and the Susei Esh came to show Elisha that Eliyahu is going up. So ask the Tanit of Eliyahu, so what's the Vayafridu? So he says an unbelievable pshat here. He says, very simple. The Malach came and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Otsisi Lach Kairas Ruach Ba'olam. I made a Nachas Ruach for you. What's Nachas Ruach? It means to say that Eliyahu was trying through his learning to bring Elisha to higher Madrega, to be Nacha Olav Ruach, to give over part of his Shefa unto Elisha, in order that Elisha should be able eventually to see him going. So the Malach says, Atisi Lach Kairas Ruach Ba'olam. I made it that Eliyahu's Shefa should go over unto Elisha. And now Elisha is on a very high Madrega. And Elisha's going to be able to see Eliyahu going up to Shemayim. And I thought, says the Malach, that Elisha will be happy now. This is what he asked for. He asked to get Piruchacha. And the way we know he's going to get Piruchacha is if he sees it. And how is he able to see it? Because Eliyahu learned with him and gave over some of his Shefa. So I thought Elisha will be a very happy camper here. And yet, what happened? Was Elisha happy? He wasn't happy at all. He was very sad. So much so, he wouldn't leave him. Vayafridu ben shneim, says the Malach, you know what I had to do? Bizoyin shebezit yoysam. I had to be mevazed them. How was I mevazed them? Dochakti yoysam. I had to push them. This one here and this one there. So I don't understand it, the Malach says. Makes no sense. I did everything right. That's the Vayafridu ben Shneyem. The Malach is saying, I had to separate Elisha and Eliyahu, because even after the Rechavesh came and the Susayesh came, and Elisha is roy now to see it, which is what he asked for, he didn't want to leave it. Because we know that deep down that wasn't really his bakasha. He was hoping Elisha, Eliyahu would stay. So Eliyahu circumvented it and he gave him his bakasha anyways. So the Malach, who doesn't understand these things, says, I don't understand. I brought the Rechavesh, I brought the Susayesh, he's able to see it, shouldn't he be the happiest camper? And he wouldn't let go. Vayafridu ben shneihem, says the Malach, I had to push them away from each other. And you see that, because in the next pasuk he screams, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Uparashav, he wasn't happy that he should leave him. So that's what he said, I pushed them away. So he learns the pasuk is, Vinei Rechav Eish V'Susei Eish, the Rechav Eish and the Susei Eish, they were here. Vayafridu ben shneihem, and still the Malach had to be Mafrid ben shneihem. Not that the Rechav Eish and the Susei Eish were the Mafrid. The Rechav Eish and Susei Eish were here. And still the Malach had to separate them in order to bring Eliyahu to Shemayim.
So, Vayafridu, Asherah, like, and
he separated them. Vayafridu means he separated them. And he says the Lashon was, Bechazaka. It took strength to do it. The Malach was saying they were so dovek to each other, I had to use all my strength to push them apart. And then when he finally did, and Eliyahu went up, Basuk Yabei says that's what Elisha was crying. And the Malach couldn't understand what was going on up here, and that's what he was telling Hashem, I don't understand what's going on. Ad Kan are the words of the Divrei Yirmiyahu. That's when he goes further and he said, if Elisha, who got such an aliyah from him, and he got the Pishnayim, and he still wanted to keep his Rebbe there, and he would scream, Elvi Elvi Rechav Yisrael Parashav, what's going to be with us? No one got Pishnayim from Yitzhak Ochanan. No one even got Pamachas from Yitzhak Ochanan, he says. So for sure, we have to scream, Elvi Elvi Rechav Yisrael Parashav. That is how he goes in an Arichas over here. And Arichas over here to be mefarish this pasuk. Okay. You got it. Yirmiyahu drush ches. And that was only one part of it. There's three sections to this hesped that he gave. This was the middle part. First part was on the p'tir of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The last part was the p'tir of some other Talmid HaTam, Rabbi Bachan, and other places the Gemara talks about it. This was the middle. Okay. Where did we left off here? Oh, then the Pasuk Ches, right?
Yigal.
Oh? Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm in the wrong hand of Hannah here. Okay, Basi Yudalit. Did you sleep last night? You don't have to answer the question. Okay. Okay. Pasuk Tesvav. So we said Elisha split the Yarden and he went back. Vayiru b'nei anavim asher b'yirichay mineged. Now remember there were b'nei anavim in Yirichay on the other side of the Yarden and they were watching. So they saw Elisha. Vayayimru, and they said, Nacha ruach Elio al Elisha. That the ruach Elio was Nacha al Elisha. One second. Did I miss something here? Oh yeah, I missed something over here. Back to Pasuk Yudalet, I'm sorry. Okay, yawn. Okay. Pasuk Yudalet. I know. In Pasuk Yudalet, we said there's a question of how many times Elisha hit the water. So we said Pashup Shah sounds like twice. Then we said most Rishayim learn once, and we were mafarish the Pasuk two ways to understand how the Pasuk reads. Now, the Radak here on the words af hu, also he. So he learns like this. He says, Yesh Mefarshim, af hu means it's referring to Elio. That over here, Elisha tried to hit the water, Vayakasamayim Vayayimer, and he said, Ayeh Hashem Alika Elio. So the Pasuk says, af hu Vayakasamayim. Elio came back already and hit the water for him. The Radak here says, V'yesh Mefarshim, af hu al Elio, sheba kimoy shahaya ruchani, v'hikar samayim, v'yichotsu v'yavar Elisha. Elisha tried to hit it, it didn't work. Ayei elik, Hashem elik Elio, he wants to know what's going on here, where's Hashem? So af hu, also him, who's the also? Elio came back now, Vayakes Amayim and Elio hit the water, and it split. Vayavar Elisha and Elisha passed through. Yeah.
I thought Elisha never started yelling.
Why did he say that? He didn't see him as a person.
Oh.
Yeah. Adarabu. We said some Mefarshim say he was asking him. They should always come back and learn with him. That was all Makar Gil Elio, right? So now what? So you want to answer the Haina Vaina?
Because
Elio needed to pass I too. Could be.
Well, why couldn't he always pass? Because he was in a
boat. Who said he had to go back? Maybe say that. Maybe. Yeah, could be. Now, the Radak brings this also, but Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Afhu Vayake Samayim, he says as follows. Afhu. What's the Afhu? The Firkid Rav Lezer, Benayish Rav Yisrael Aglili. He says as follows. Gedoyla Chatzoyas Elisha Kiflayim Shel Elio. When Elisha split the Yarden this time, it was worth double of what Elio when he split it. That's the Afhu. Shebitchil Zchushneyem V'achshav Zchusa Yechidi. So the Bechidish. The Pirkei Blazer is saying that the first time, this doesn't really necessarily work with the Heina V'Heina from before, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but the first time when they went over, when Elio split it, it was B'schus Tu Tzadikim, him and Elisha. So it's not such a big nates or a maifis to do it when you have two tzaddikim. Now Elisha has to go back by himself. So he has to split the yarden for himself. So when he does it, it's worth double of what Elio did. So that's the Afu. Also, he did it. The Chiddush is Gedayla. When Eliyahu did it, it wasn't such a big. Ayeh Hashem Elokei Eliyahu. It wasn't such a big thing when Eliyahu did it. Because Eliyahu had the schus of two tzaddikim who wanted to go over. Afu, when Elisha did it by Yaakeh Samayim and it split, the Afu, the Chiddush is, he did it and his schus is worth double of Eliyahu. Some Mefarshim even want to say that we said last time that Elisha did 16 Maivsim, L'kayim HaShenemar, Pishnayim. And if you count, it seems, I didn't count, but that's what they claim, there's only 15. So some of the first want to count this as 2. So since the Medrash says that it was worth double, so it counts as 2 Maivsim. And therefore that's how you get to 16.
Who says it?
Rashi. Now the truth is, if you learn like the Hain of Hain of Pshat, the original Hain of Hain of Pshat that was split twice, so Eliyahu really didn't have, this whole thing doesn't really work with that. Because Eliyahu split once for him and once for Elisha. Each one got their own splitting, so it was only one tzaddik. It was chus of one tzaddik for each one. Unless somehow you say that the schus of both of them made 2 splittings, I don't know, it doesn't really work together. So over here, Elisha only really needs 1 schus to get over one time, and therefore you don't really see any type of gedayla unless he split it twice too. I don't know why he would have to do that, but unless he split it twice too, maybe there was some reason he had to prove Pishnayim, so he split it twice. I don't know. Maybe. Okay, but that is that. Now we can move on to Pasuk Tesvav. Now they saw him. And they saw that he split the Yarden. Right? And there's no Eliyahu there anymore. So they said, Nafa Ruach Eliyahu Elisha. So they came to him and they bowed down to him to the ground. And they said to him, There's 50 of us. And we are B'nai Chayil. We're very strong. Now usually B'nai Chayil are soldiers. There's no wars going on here. But what they meant to say was we're very strong. And they were going to ask that they should go look for Eliyahu. But to go do a search party, you have to be able to go in a lot of places in a short amount of time. You have to have a lot of stamina. You have to be strong. So they said, we are B'nai Chayil. We're very strong. So Yel Chuna, let us go. Let's go look for Eliyahu. Maybe a Ruach Hashem lifted him up. And it threw him into one of the mountains, or one of the valleys. And we'll find it. And Elisha said, no, I'm not sending you. Now, the obvious question here is, what's going on? These B'nai Nevi'im, the day before, or whenever it was, what did they say? Hayoyim Lekeach, Hashem Lekeach Adenecha. That means, it seems that they knew that Hashem was taking him. And all of a sudden, let's go search for him, maybe we'll find him. Didn't you know that you're taking him? Where are you going to find him? So the Radak says, all it said was, Hashem lekeach adinecha. Hashem's taking your master. Where is he taking him to? Didn't say. There's no destination. So they thought, perhaps it means, that Hashem was separating him from people. He says, perhaps even many times, Eliyahu would go off on his own in seclusion, separate himself from people. So maybe all it means to say is Hashem's going to pick him up and deposit him somewhere else away from people. Let's go look for him. Maybe he's around somewhere. So the Radak says, a little bit of a doyik, but that's what the Radak wants to be mefarish. The Metzudas David says, they thought that it meant Hashem taking him meant that his neshama is going up to Shemayim, but his guf is going to remain in this world. So he needs Kvura. So they know Hashem Lekeach Adayin Akhla, that means he's going to be Nifter. But this big wind took him somewhere. Let's go look for his goof and bring you the Kvura. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Epsher emesh amru loy hayodate ki ayemesh amlekecha tzedenecha v'achshav nela mehem heichanu." What happened? Yesterday they knew he's going, and now all of a sudden, let's go look for him. Milameid, it teaches us, Rashi is quoting a Tisefta, Masechta Saita, Abraisa, Miyoyim she nignaz aliyo, from the day Aliyo was nignaz, was hidden away, Halcha v'nistalka ruach ha-kaydash mina nevi'im. The ruach ha-kaydash left the nevi'im. V'shuv le'haysa ruach ha-kaydash meruva v'yisrael. And not only left the nevi'im, it was much stronger. It wasn't meruva, it wasn't so common in Klal Yisrael. Ruach ha-kaydash. And Abarbanel goes through a very long arichas to show this throughout the times of the Nevi'im. Because you find in the beginning of Shmuel that the Lashon over there is Ein Chazayin B'Yisrael, right? And then when Shmuel became a Navi, it says the Lashon Vayosef Hashem Laharis B'Shilai K'nigla Hashem Shmuel B'Shilai, that Hashem started giving off a shef of Ruach HaKadosh. The pshat is, when you have a big Navi like Shmuel, and there's such a shefa of Ruach HaKadosh that is coming onto him, the Lashon of Abarbanel is, he's like a magnifying glass. Just like when you have sun, if you take a magnifying glass, and the sun comes through it, you could direct the light, number one, in a stronger fashion, but also you could direct into places that the light of the sun may not have hit on its own. So too, the shef of Nevuah wouldn't have gone on everyone. When Hashem was putting out a shef of Nevuah, so a lot of people, they weren't right for it. But when it comes through a Shmuel Hanavi, so then if the light spreads out, it gets magnified and spreads out, it goes even onto people who weren't necessarily going to be Nevi'im on their own. He says Avarnel, that's why you find there's many more Nevi'im by Klal Yisrael than by the Goyim. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's what he says. Because we have big tzaddikim that get the Nevuah. When they get the Nevuah, they spread it all over. If you have a Bilam, he gets the Nevuah, he's not a magnifier. He does not have that madrega to spread it all over. That's why he says also you'll find there's Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael a lot more than Chutz La'aretz. Because of the Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael, the Makam HaMikdash, the Shefa gets spread out much more. In Chutz La'aretz, it's not such a big magnifier. So therefore, says Abarbanel, all these B'nai HaNevi'im, where they get their Shefa Nevuah from? From Eliyo. And even though there was an Elisha, but he wasn't a Madreg of Eliyo, and therefore when he left, the Lashon is, Nistalka Ruach HaKadosh Min HaNevi'im, and also, the Ruach HaKadosh wasn't Meruba in Yisrael anymore, because it was all a direct result of the Shefa Nevuah that came from Elio. And with this, I'm not sure if the Barbanel says this, or I heard it on the shiur that I was listening to. With this, he can answer a very interesting question. And that is, we know a Navi cannot be Misnabe the singling Echad, right? That was the problem from before. Two Nevi'im don't say the same Nevuah. How did we have 50 Nevi'im over and over keep on saying, Hayayim Hashem Lekech HaZeinechem Al Reshech, the exact same Lashon? I don't know if it's a strong question, you could have said they all said it and dropped differently, not just such a stira. But he wanted to say that the pshat is, when a Navi gets a Nevuah directly from Hashem to himself, and two Nevi'im get it directly from Hashem to themselves, two Nevi'im don't say over the same Nevuah exactly the same. It's impossible. But what happens if a Navi gets a Nevuah, and from his Shefa, all the other B'nai Nevi'im also get Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah. They're not getting it themselves in the Rabbeinu Shalom. They're just collateral damage almost from the Navi himself. So then the message that they're getting is whatever comes through the Navi. So it's the same message to all of them. So then they could be misnabe b'singan echad, because they're not really saying their own nevuas. When two neviim are saying nevuas that they got from Hashem, they don't say the same thing. But when you have these neviim that mitzad atzmam, they're not zaychet to nevuah. They're only because the ruach hakodesh and the nevuah is only because there's an Elio giving out a shefa, so they get exactly what Elio gives out. Elio gives out a signal to all of the neviim. One text message and one button spreads out to everyone the same text message everyone gets. So now there's no interpretations. There's no Navi Bim and Snavi Bisinga Echad. The two Navim can't be Snavi Bisinga Echad because this is not a real Nebuah. This is all from the Shef of the Navi, and therefore it's possible that in that situation there could be Snavi Bisinga Echad. But that is what the Abarbanel is saying. Rashi is telling us over here, but you'll notice that when they lost their Ruach HaKadosh, they forgot what they said yesterday. Right, that's what's coming out over here. Rashi has the question. Yesterday they said that Hashem is lekeach, and now v'achshav nelameam heichan hu. That means now they forgot where he is. When yesterday you said he's going to Hashemayim, and now you forgot. Ruach HaKodesh was taken away from them. Ruach HaKodesh was taken away from them. That means, and they forgot all the Ruach HaKodesh that they said. Once it was taken away, they lost it. Again, could be that's the pshat because since it's from the Shefa, so Kolzman the Shefa's coming, you have your hard drive with all the memory. The minute you cut off the Shefa, you have nothing to yourself. They had nothing to them. They didn't retain anything. They were all just hooked into one big computer called Elio. If you unplug the computer and you have no memory of your own, it's gone. There's nothing left. They didn't have a backup system, right? So therefore, that is why it seems that when they lost the Ruach HaKodesh, they forgot everything. Okay, we will stop here.